Let's look at Psalm chapter 63 here. Let's open up our hearts to the Lord. Psalm 63. Praise you, Lord. It says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Here we see the writer of this psalm. He says, I earnestly search for you. My whole body is just longing for God. The picture is, in this place where we are, there's not a whole lot of refreshment. He says, there's no water anywhere that's going to help my soul. To me, when I read that, that sounds a little bit like America, doesn't it? We're in a dry and weary land where you can hear a lot of good stuff, and yet nothing is quenching souls today. Nothing is quenching the thirst. Look at verse 2. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. Verse 6. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Thank you, Lord. Praise and bless the reading of your word today. Here in this psalm, we see the writer just speaking of how awesome God is and really his heart towards the things of God, that he is seeking God. He says, Lord, as we read in verse 5, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. God, you're number one on my list. You're more important than anything else I can ever come to. I lie awake at night thinking of how awesome you are. And then at the end, there's others who are out to get me. Have you ever felt like anybody's out to get you? Right? They're plotting to destroy me. But you know what he knows? Deliverance comes from the Lord. Deliverance comes from the Lord. They will die by the sword, become the food of jackals. They're going to go down to where they're going to go. I leave it in the Lord's hands. God is the King in whom I will rejoice. All who trust in him will praise him, while all the liars will be silenced. He left his enemies into the hands of God Almighty, and he clung to the God he served in the midst of these hard times. In this dry and weary land, he clung to God. Remember in verse 8, I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me secure. The writer of this psalm says, God, I want you more than anything else. This morning, my topic is really simple that I'm going to talk about. It's really this. It's seeking God. It's seeking God. You see, last week I talked on just expecting things from God. This week I felt the Lord is really giving me a simple message to encourage the church to really seek Him. Not just in name. We can say we seek God, but I mean really seek Him. As the writer of this psalm said, I cling to you. I think about you at night. When nobody else is around, my heart is drawn to the things of God. I will praise you. He says, I lift up my hands to you. With all of his heart, he's seeking the Lord. Listen, as a church, we need to seek God. As individuals, we need to seek God. Amen? Amen. The verse I quote all the time from Jeremiah 29, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, Jeremiah Verse 29, 13. I have some verses. You can write these down. Jeremiah 29, 13. Quoted all the time. The Lord says, if you really look for me with all your heart, you're going to find me. If you're playing games, you're not going to find God. If we're on this place where we don't really want God, don't worry, you're not going to find Him. If we're at a place where we preach about seeking the Lord and seeking the infillment of His Spirit and all that, if you're at a place where you say, I don't want any more of God, I'm fine, don't worry, God's not going to force Himself upon you. We need to be at a place where we surrender our lives to God. We need to be at a place where we really seek Him with all of our heart. Exodus 20, I'll read the first few verses of Exodus 20. This is known as the Ten Commandments. The Lord says this, Exodus 20, verse 1, "Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other gods before me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any image or an image of anything in heaven or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Did you hear that in commandment 2? Don't make idols, don't bow down to them, because I am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. It's not okay for us to be jealous. But this is the nature of who God is. Is He allowed to be? He certainly is. He created everything. We can't be jealous of stuff because we didn't create it. We don't own it. We're just being envious. God isn't envious of anybody. He's jealous for the attention of those He created. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to have affections for any other gods in our land. Real quick, let's get some interaction today. What are some of the gods in our land? Money. Money is a god in our land, isn't it? That people strive their entire life for money. God said, I will not be tolerant of your affection for money. Jesus has to be number one in our lives and not money. Anything else? Possessions, yeah. Just stuff. What's that? Power, yeah. To be in control, right? Power. I need to lord my power over you. That's how some people think. Unfortunately, that happens in the church as well today. Side note, a lot of people in not in our church, but in some other places, they're going to have some big stuff to answer to the Lord. You know? Wanting power. Yeah, that's God needs to be number one. Yes? Politics. That's true. Politics. You're right. That our God isn't politics. Whoever you want to vote for, neither one is going to be the savior of our nation. Amen. Great verse I read the other day, early in Psalms. It's something I've been saying anyway. It was neat to see it in the Bible. It talked about in a land where justice and everything is falling apart, people have no hope. But then it said, but God is still on the throne. My king is the Lord. I don't know who the president's going to be, but I know who my king is. And he's fine. A lot of gods. Anyone else? Yeah? Love of self. Yeah. Do we just love ourselves? I have another one. Children. Some people put their children so high up that they don't take care of things they need to take care of because it's all about their kids. And I know we need to love kids. But if you don't have time for church, you don't have time for the Lord because you're running your kids from activity to activity to activity, they can't even get to church. That's fine. Maybe you'll get a football player as a son. But if he misses eternity in heaven, what did you accomplish? Right? If your kid's really good in ballet, which my daughter wants to do ballet someday, if my daughter misses heaven, what good was the tutu and everything else, right? We need to keep the right things right. And some people don't discipline their kids. Their kids, we worship. You need to discipline your kids as well. We need to shape them. God will judge us for that. Not abuse. But we need to pop this off. Shoot. Not abuse. But we need to discipline. They're not little gods. They're a responsibility. We need to seek Him for who He is. Meister Eckhart, he was a man who lived, well, he died in 1327, so that was a while ago. But he said this, "If we seek God for our own good and profit, we're not seeking God. If we seek God for our own good, for our own profit, we're not seeking God. We're just seeking to fulfill ourselves. If we only seek God when we need something, we're not seeking God. We might be seeking a job, we might be seeking health, but we're not seeking God." Thomas A. Kempis said, "Seek God, not happiness." We need to seek God. If you seek God alone, you will gain happiness. But if you seek happiness, you're not going to gain God, nor will you gain happiness. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first what the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added." Seek the kingdom of God. Remember, the Lord says, ask and keep asking. Remember? Seek, keep seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep knocking on the throne of God, and He will open the door. We need to seek the Lord. Psalm 119:2, "Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all of his heart." Psalm 9:10, "Those who know Your name trust in You, for You, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for You." If we search for God, if we seek God, He will not abandon us. Truth is, we don't have time to seek the Lord forever, do we? You don't have forever to seek God. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55:6, "Seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near." I had a friend of mine a long time ago who wasn't ready to commit to Christ. He wasn't ready to commit to Christ. He said, "I want to go out and still have fun." Well, commit to Christ down the road. At the time, he was dating a Christian girl, of which she should have never been. She should have never dated him, knowing where his heart was. He said, "You know, it's nice and all, but I'm just not ready. I need to have more fun." Listen, that day of seeking God is today, isn't it? You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's going to happen. In fact, the time when we're clear-headed and we're able to call out to God, listen, we need to seek Him then, because you don't know what phone call you might get in the middle of the night. You don't know what tragedy might come. And you need to have a foundation with God already in place. You don't know what friend might come across you and need some prayer and need a word from the Lord. And if you've spent time with God, maybe you can hear a word from the Lord to share. And if we haven't, you're like, "You got a need, I'm going to pray for you." And then we're thinking, "Oh Lord, make up for my 8 months of not caring," right? Listen, we need to seek Him while He may be found. We don't know how long we have to live. We don't know any of those things. We need to really seek Him. We need to really call out to Him. By default, you will not seek God. By default, if left to your own, if not really seeking Him, you're just not going to seek Him. Do you know what I mean? You can come to church every day. You can come to church when I'm not even here. That doesn't mean you're seeking the Lord. You know what I mean? It's a heart thing. It's really pointing yourself towards God. And as I said, I shared last week on expecting God to move. If God is who He is, which we believe He is, if He is the rewarder of those who seek Him, and we know He is, if we expect Him to reward us for seeking Him, shouldn't we seek Him? Right? Shouldn't we do it? In our spiritual life, shouldn't we put the car in drive with God? Instead of just getting by? The sad thing is, there's going to be a lot of people who just make it to heaven, that have no rewards because they're not taking anybody with them. You know what else is sad too? There's going to be a lot of people that don't make it to heaven who expect that they're going to make it. And they just sat and became lukewarm. And Jesus, He said, because you are not hot or cold, I spit you out of my mouth. Remember that? Revelation? We need to really have a heart for the things of God. By default, you won't. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. But no, all have turned away, all have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one. Left to ourselves, we will not seek God. Thank the Lord that He gives us the Holy Spirit. That when we ask God to come, ask Jesus to come into our lives to forgive us, He places the Holy Spirit within us, which cries out for more of Himself. Which cries out for holiness. Which we leave, we're different, we're changed, and deep within us, the Holy Spirit within is speaking to us, saying, don't do this stuff anymore. We're different now. And unfortunately, many times we choose to silence that voice, and we do whatever we want to do. And the Holy Spirit will say, don't sin over here anymore. Don't do that. And we're going to do it anyway. Because we silence the voice of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit within us. It's time as a church we begin to listen to the voice of God within us. It's time as a church that we begin to sincerely seek Him. That we begin to run after Him. Listen with everything. That when we come together as a church and worship, we just can't help but worship because of who God is. We can't even contain ourselves because of who God is. You understand? If this place, now I know some of us come in and we have things. We've been beat up. And I'm not saying muster up this fake thing where you act like you're excited and you're really beat up. I'm not saying that. Nor am I saying stay home if you feel beat up. I'm not saying that. But more often than not, there's a whole lot of us who we're just too busy in our own thing that we don't care about seeking the Lord. We haven't thought about them. And if we come together and we're passionate for God, the ones who come and beat up will be encouraged. Am I right? You know what I mean? Because listen, me included, we all go through times where we're beat up and our faith is shaken. We need to encourage each other. Say, you know what? I've been there. I want to be an encouragement to you today. I want to help you today. This is what the Lord was giving me to share today. My heart today is not to accuse you of not seeking the Lord. I think what the Lord is saying, let's all get real and follow after Him and make sure He's number one. Am I right? Let's make sure He's number one. A few more things before we're done here today. Seeking God. A few other thoughts. It requires sacrifice to seek the Lord. I have two things. The first thing is this, a sacrifice of our time. To seek God, it requires the sacrifice of our time. Is anybody time-oriented here that you look at your watch and you try and schedule things? I am. I just killed the flower. I am. I wish that in this modern age we could seek God faster. Anybody else? You ever think that? I think that way. I'm thinking, if only we could, because I'm a computer geek a little bit, if only we could have like a flash drive and I could like get the Word and plug it in, and I could just get full of God and His Word in like 3 seconds, man, and I'll be good and I'll know it. You know what I mean? And I could just spend time with God and I could have a fantastic 10 minutes and I could just be like, wow. I love the Lord, and you have these other books written by great men and women of the faith, and you're like, if I could just consume this book, and there's 15 other ones on my shelf, I want to read this one, and this one, and this one, and I want to read this one, and this man's a great man, and I just want to get so much of the Lord, how can I do it faster? Get it in the car, Bible on CD, I'll consume it while I'm driving to the mall. You know, have you ever, anybody ever thought that way but me? Listen, seeking God requires time. There are some things that technology can't make faster. Seeking God is one of those things. You can't make it faster. We need to spend quality time with the Lord. Can anybody remember when you got your first microwave? Yeah. I remember, it was huge. My mom and dad brought microwave home. I mean, it was crazy. And it came with this thing that looked almost like a guitar cable. You plug inside. Did anybody ever get it? Get one of those? Probe. And remember what that was for? What was it? What's that temperature for cooking turkeys and stuff, right? That's what a big old turkey cooker. Has anybody ever cooked a turkey in a microwave? We never used it. I don't even think they make them anymore. Microwaves, you can't get a turkey in them anymore. But I thought of this the other day in regards to this message here with spending time with God requires time. Cooking a turkey requires time. You can invent the microwave. It still doesn't work on a turkey. Right? It doesn't work. I mean, I suppose somebody must have, like, cooked one successfully in order to even make the gadget, but it never caught on, did it? How do you cook a turkey? Put it out on the counter forever, right? Let it thaw out, you know, 2 days before Thanksgiving, right? Baste it all day. Is there a better way to cook a turkey? Not really. Deep fry. Well, after somebody bring one of them for the Veterans Day dinner, because I've never had a fried turkey. But if you're going to cook your regular old turkey, it takes time, doesn't it? You can't speed it up. Now, here's my thinking, too, because I'm a logical person. If you cook it on 350 degrees, is that what temperature should be? For like 10 hours? I'm thinking 700 for 5 hours. Do you know what I mean? That's my thinking. I'm like twice as fast for twice as high of temperature. We're good. Right? Nobody ever had that thought? Why doesn't that work? Yeah, you've had that? All right, so I'm on the same level with you guys. Thank you. It's good. Yeah, as if that helps. I used to do that too. You let all the air out. Listen, you can't cook a turkey fast. In the same way, you can't spend time with God any faster. It takes good old-fashioned time. It takes good old-fashioned kneeling on your altar. God, I need you. That's what it takes, doesn't it? Am I right? God knows it's 2008 and we got cell phones and do all kinds of stuff and GPS and can't have church without a computer, right? You have to have a computer anymore. I don't know how they ever did it. Right? Everything's technology, you know? I'm just being kind of facetious a little bit, but listen, we try to do things faster and easier. We can't do that with God. We need to just get back and spend time with God. Reading His Word faster isn't the answer. Getting it is the answer. If you only read 5 verses a night and you're getting it, and the Lord's speaking to you, that's awesome. Don't fly through it just so you can check it off. But we need to spend time with God. Allow Him to penetrate our hearts. We can't microwave a turkey. Not really. And you can't rush time with God. So if we are going to seek Him and be faithful, we need to just spend time with Him. The second thing we need to do is our heart. So the first thing, it requires a sacrifice of our time and it requires a sacrifice of our heart. What do we care about? What do we care about today? Jesus needs to be our first love, doesn't He? He needs to be number one on our list. What do we care about? Is it Him first? Do we care to be pleasing to God? Do you know that you're an ambassador of the cross, that wherever you go, every Wawa, every place, somebody is looking at you? Perhaps somebody who is down and out, they don't know you're a believer, but they're at the end of their rope. Maybe they're just the person making coffee at Wawa. You don't know where they're at. You don't know what they're going through. And the Lord could be whispering to you to just smile. To just give a, you don't look that, you look like you're upset. Can I pray for you? or I'll just pray for you later today, or maybe just a word to encourage could open up a conversation. You're a Christian? I need something. I live around here. I've been lonely. Wow, well, we have a church 5 blocks over. Really? Yeah. You know, you don't know where you're going to go. We need to put the Lord first because we don't know what He's going to use us for. It requires our heart. The second thought under heart is this. That means we need to let go of pride. Right? When we worship the Lord. Because that's really a heart issue. Heart is what we care about, but sometimes we care more about what other people think of us than we care about God. I remember being in church and the Lord was just encouraging me to surrender everything to Him. And I remember being so anxious in worship. And I just knew the Lord wanted me just to lift up my hands and surrender to Him and worship Him. Because I think that when we lift up our hands in worship, there's this thing that just releases our heart a little bit for God. And I just felt the Lord was doing that. And I was like, no, because I don't want people to look at me and think I'm dumb. Truth is, they probably already thought I was dumb. I should have just did it. You know? I mean, I was in a church. Everybody loved me. And yet I had this, no, Lord. And I just stood there. And finally, after about 4 more songs, like, you know what? This is silly. If I love the Lord, why can't I seek Him with everything that we have? As the writer of that psalm said, Lord, I lift up my hands to You in prayer. Why? Because that's a natural response of surrender. So at some point, I just began to lift up my hands and surrender. And to be honest with you, I felt just such a release. I just felt such a release because I think the Lord was saying, good, you're taking a step of faith towards me. You're being obedient. And the Lord just blessed me and allowed me to feel His presence even more. I think He touched me for being obedient. For me, it was a pride issue, which was just foolish. If God is number one, then that means I shouldn't be sitting on the throne of my heart. Make Jesus stand while I sit on the throne of my heart. And I'm in control and I care what other people think. I need to be kneeling before Christ, even within my heart. I need to not have pride. What if somebody thinks I'm weird because I love the Lord? Jesus said people are going to think you're weird. Right? The world rejected Christ. The world's going to reject us. Deal with it. It's okay. Because the Lord will help us through anything. Again, we need to seek the Lord today. Simple message. It requires a sacrifice of our time. We're not going to get around that. I wish we could, but we can't. We just need to spend time with God. We still have 24 hours in our day, even though we got to pick up our kids and take them here and there, soccer practice or whatever, or you just have a lot of other things happening in your life. You got work. I understand time issues, but we still need to spend time with the Lord and also our heart. It needs to be number one. We need to let everything else go. It really comes down to this. Surrender. Doesn't it? It really comes down to just surrendering everything to the Lord.